This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Did you know that the average cost for a family of four to attend a professional baseball game is over $200? At the same time, over 40% of all sports, concert, and theater tickets go unsold. So how come we're all paying so much when so many seats go empty? I'm Adam Kanner, founder of ScoreBig.com. We found a way to work directly with teams and venues to get their unsold seats and pass the huge savings on to you. On ScoreBig.com, we guarantee you'll save on great sports, concert, and theater tickets. And we're not talking about last-minute nosebleed seats to events you don't want to see, but millions of great seats for the best events, days, weeks, even months in advance. On ScoreBig.com, when you successfully name a ticket price, on average, you'll save over 33% below box office price each time you buy, with no added fees or shipping charges ever. There are lots of places to buy tickets, but if you really want to save, then check out ScoreBig.com.
And now save even more at ScoreBig.com. Click on the radio mic and enter code 2255, and we'll take an additional $30 off your ticket purchase. That's ScoreBig.com, promo code 2255.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump shuts the door to Muslims. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka on this Tuesday, December 8th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Donald Trump says there should be a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the U.S. At the same time, a new poll shows he's not the front runner in Iowa any longer. Find out who is.
The FBI says the San Bernardino terrorists had worked on their plan at shooting ranges. There's also new info about the pipe bombs in their home.
On a lighter note, with Hanukkah underway and Christmas around the corner, a list of technology gifts that'll satisfy just about everyone.
And is it time to stop giving student loans to practically anyone who asks?
More than two-thirds of those who have defaulted on their student loans in recent years, and I'm talking about generally the past 5 years, have been those who have gone to either for-profit schools or two-year schools, as opposed to those who go to four-year schools.
Josh Mitchell at the Wall Street Journal about stemming the spike in student loan defaults. His report in about 25 minutes. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump says until we're able to determine and understand the hatred that Muslims have and the dangerous threat it poses, there should be a, quote, total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the U.S.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on?
The announcement came on the same day that Mr. Trump saw Texas Senator Ted Cruz become the front runner in a new Iowa poll. And also after President Obama gave a speech from the Oval Office in which he asked Americans to show tolerance for the Islamic faith. It's a proposal that taps into voter anxiety about the recent spate of terrorist attacks.
We're out of control. We have no idea who's coming into our country. We have no idea if they love us or if they hate us. We have no idea if they want to bomb us. We have no idea what's going on.
His suggestion, which could be unconstitutional, evoked outrage from across the political spectrum yesterday. Meanwhile, Mr. Trump had been scheduled to appear at a Republican National Committee fundraiser today in New York. He now will not appear. Well, the FBI now says the two shooters in last week's massacre in San Bernardino had been radicalized for some time. The agency also says the husband-wife team had methodically prepared for the attack. Investigators are still combing through clues to determine whether the couple received assistance from Islamic extremist groups or acted alone. David Bowditch is an FBI assistant director on the case.
Yes, we do have evidence that both of these subjects did some participated in target practice in some ranges within the metro area or within the Los Angeles area.
Tashfeen Malik, a Pakistani national, and Syed Farouk, her U.S.-born husband, assaulted a holiday gathering of county workers 6 days ago, killing 14, injuring 21. Investigators, by the way, said they continue to examine electronic devices for evidence of possible contact with extremists or terror groups. In addition, officials clarified details on the explosive found at the couple's home, saying there were 19 pipes present, though not all may have been functional pipe bombs. Two sides to the story are emerging as the U.S. debates a response to the terrorist shootings in San Bernardino. To his critics, President Obama's strategy to combat the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq is weak and incoherent. The White House maintains that its strategy is comprehensive and that it's working. Karen DeYoung is national security correspondent for The Washington Post. Karen, how do you see it?
Well, I think the first point to make is that the White House insists that it actually has a strategy. You know, one of the accusations, and it's said over and over again, certainly by leading Republicans and the presidential candidates, is that the president has to have a strategy. I think they do have a strategy. Some people don't like it. And what the administration is trying to do, and certainly what the president tried to do, was to again outline the elements of that strategy and say, look, this is what we're doing. This is what we're trying to achieve. And so that's what the president did. And they're also doing a series of briefings here, pretty repetitive stuff that they've said all along. But again, some people, including leading Republicans, don't like what it is they're doing and want them to do something else.
Is part of it that, I guess, the strategy, you know, doesn't have a name attached to it or an acronym like that we can't actually, I don't know, feel or see? Does that make it not definable, for example?
Well, the military has names. You know, they call their operations in Iraq and Syria, it's Operation Inherent Resolve, which is one of those somewhat kind of corny military names that they adopt. I don't know what they would call it. I mean, you know, the basic problem is that some, specifically Republicans, but also some Democrats have said, look, we need troops on the ground. That's the only way we are going to resolve this situation. And if the administration really believes it's a war, then they need to start treating it like a war. I think the administration says, look, there is no indication that the American public wants troops on the ground there. That would be a sort of gift to the Islamic State to have American soldiers fighting a war again in an Arab country. It would play into their hands. We'd take casualties. So what they're trying to do is to build up local forces, certainly the Iraqi military and rebel forces in Syria. It's been very, very slow going, however.
We're speaking with Karen DeYoung, national security correspondent at The Washington Post. Her piece is called A Frustrated White House Insists Its ISIS Strategy is Working. I thought that was interesting, too, that they said there's no indication the American public wants a war. I don't think we ever actually want one. I think we just need sometimes people to tell us that it's in our best interests to conduct one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, you don't want a president who's making decisions based on public opinion.
That's
if
what
it
I mean.
Turns
yeah.
out that it's something that he truly believes and has been advised by all the many people who advise him that this is something that needs to happen, you know, that arguably is the essence of leadership. You explain to people and you convince them that this is what needs to happen.
Right. What is it that they insist is actually working, Karen?
They say that they have stopped the Islamic State advance in Iraq, and I think they have. They've retaken a considerable amount of territory, several small cities. They are getting themselves ready to take over the bigger cities that ISIL operates. In Syria, they have forces, Syrian Kurds and Arab forces, have retaken, with U.S. assistance, much of the border from with Turkey that was being controlled by the Islamic State. So they can legitimately claim some progress.
Thanks, Karen. Karen DeYoung, national security correspondent for The Washington Post. 14 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When you run a small business, even the smallest decisions are stressful. What color should the logo be? Black, purple, blue? Which blue? Sky, deep, seafoam, aquamarine? But there's one decision that's easy. The decision to make your business better by switching to Vonage's award-winning cloud-based communication service. With seamless mobility between your devices so your employees can connect with your customers while on the go. With state-of-the-art tools like Virtual Receptionist, so every call is routed with pinpoint precision. And all for much less than you think. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com to make the switch now. It's no wonder so many small and large business owners are switching to Vonage. So don't just switch to any cloud, switch to Vonage's award-winning cloud service. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or sign up at Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Tuesday. An Illinois prosecutor will not bring charges against a Chicago police officer seen on a dash cam video shooting a fleeing suspect last year. Cook County State's Attorney Anita Alvarez announced there would be no charges in the case of 25-year-old Ronald Johnson, who was shot and killed by Officer George Hernandez on October 12th of 2014. Her presentation featured the release of police dashboard video, including an enhanced image prepared by the FBI showing what she said was a gun in Mr. Johnson's hand.
Even though Mr. Johnson was running away from Hernandez and other officers, he was running towards a police vehicle containing two other responding officers and unknown members of the public inside that park.
Her announcement came hours after the Justice Department announced a broad review of Chicago's police department in the wake of a similar case, which sparked widespread calls for an overhaul. The Chicago PD has come under intense scrutiny after the release of a video last month showing the police shooting of 17-year-old Laquan McDonald last year. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Court in a South African court today granted bail to Paralympian Oscar Pistorius despite his conviction on murder charges for killing his girlfriend in 2013. The judge says the athlete doesn't pose a flight risk.
The applicant is released on bail of 10,000 rand. The case is postponed to the 18th. Of April.
The Supreme Court last Thursday upgraded the 29-year-old athlete sentenced to murder from culpable homicide. Bail was set at under $700. The FBI says the shooters in last week's massacre in California had been radicalized for some time and methodically prepared for the attack. The two had practiced shooting at a local range days before the assault. And Tashfeen Malik had posted a message on Facebook just before the attack pledging allegiance to ISIS. Members of the California rock band Eagles of Death Metal made a surprise return to a Paris stage, joining with U2 last night, less than a month after suicide bombers stormed the band's November 13th gig at the Bataclan Theater and killed 89 people. U2 frontman Bono introduced the band as our brothers and fellow troubadours who were robbed of their stage 3 weeks ago. An Air France tweet today said an Air France flight from San Francisco to Paris was diverted to Montreal after an anonymous threat. The aircraft landed normally. The weather phenomenon El Nino is near its peak, with some indicators now showing signs of easing. Australia's Bureau of Meteorology says while sea surface temperatures remain close to record highs, some El Nino indicators are showing signs of easing. El Nino events can lead to severe drought in parts of Southeast Asia and heavy flooding in North America. And a field goal with 9 seconds left gave Dallas a win over Washington last night. Brad Sham with a call on the fan in Dallas.
He's got nine game winners. 54 for the lead with 14 seconds. The kick's away. Bailey. Yes! With 9 seconds, 54 yards.
The win puts the Cowboys one game out of first place in the mediocre NFC East behind the Skins, Giants, and Eagles. All three teams are only 5-7.
You can tell it's the holidays.
Why is that?
You just called that league or that division mediocre. That's very kind of you. Dan Bailey, by the way, you're killing me. Just killing me. I went to bed last night with a 12-point fantasy lead over my son. Bailey put 15 points on the fantasy board last night.
Lost your 12-year-old again?
And sank me. Thanks a lot. Thanks for nothing. Thanks, Jennifer. 23 minutes after the hour, on This Morning, America's First News. With the holidays almost here, you don't have time to go to the post office. You have to deal with the traffic and the parking. It'll be packed with everyone mailing holiday gifts and packages, so you should use Stamps.com instead. With Stamps.com, you can avoid all the hassle of going to the post office during the busy holiday season. Everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. You can buy official U.S. postage using your own computer, then print postage right at home for any letter or package the instant you need it. Then the mailman picks it up. It's that easy and so convenient. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in my last name, Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal. Good Tuesday to you. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by Harry's, quality men's shaving products for a fraction of big-name brands. Go to harrys.com and enter promo code DEAL for $5 off your first order and change the way you shave forever. Struggling to make a decision about a holiday gift for someone? Dan Ackerman at the technology site CNET.com has a look at gifts that can bring a smile to just about anybody's face. Dan, what's trendy?
You know, I think the big trends this year are some of the VR stuff, like the Samsung Gear VR. If you have, you know, a phone that's compatible with it, that's a lot less expensive now. That's, again, an eyepiece you put on to do VR stuff. Used to be $200, now it's $100. You slide your Samsung phone in. It's actually a lot of fun, easy way to get into that. I love a series of TVs with Roku boxes built in. So if you know what a Roku box is, that's a media streaming box that does, you know, Netflix and Amazon and tons of other online content, because a lot of people just stream all their TV shows online. Yeah. Now it's built into a series of TVs from TCL and a few other brands. It's going to be a great Black Friday deal. Amazon and I think Walmart are going to have the 32-inch version for like $125. And considering a Roku box by itself is, you know, $50 or $100, you know, that's pretty good.
What else?
One of my favorite things of this entire year is something that everybody thought was super useless when it came out, and then people tried it and thought, wow, this is actually really cool. It's the Amazon Echo, and it's a little cylindrical Bluetooth speaker that Amazon sells, but it's also a smart assistant, kind of like Siri, except for, at least when I've tried it, it's a lot smarter than Siri and understands what you're saying a lot better. And it'll stream music from the Amazon Music Library. You can upload all your MP3s to Amazon, your personal ones. It'll play them just by calling out the name of the song or the artist, you know, out in the air. You can get the weather report from it just by saying, you know, Alexa, what's the weather? That's what I do every day on the way out the door. And it's a ton of fun. It's about $179. And in the future, I think we're going to look back and go, how did I not have a voice-activated personal assistant in my house? It's ridiculous that this counts right now. Right. I think everyone's going to have one eventually.
Wow. All right. We're speaking with Dan Ackerman, section editor at CNET.com. We're talking about kind of tech gadgets that'll satisfy just about anybody this holiday season. Did a drone make your list? Is that what I saw?
You know, there are a bunch of drones out there. That's getting to be a little bit of a controversial topic because a lot of people don't want you flying them in public parks. There are a lot of new FAA rules for drones depending on where you're flying them. They're getting inexpensive. There's even some, I keep bringing up Star Wars stuff because this is the year of Star Wars. There are some cool Star Wars ones that look like Millennium Falcons. Those can be expensive, and one crash against the wall, they break pretty easily. But if you live in a wide open space, you know, go for it.
Very good. All right, what else?
You know, I'm going to tell you, if you do not have yet, as inconceivable as this may be, a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox One, and somehow you're still interested in these devices, but you haven't bought one over the last 2 years, they're finally coming down in price pretty solidly. Every single store on the planet, I think, is going to have either one of these for $299 each, which is a pretty stiff discount off the original prices, plus all kinds of bundles where they throw in extra games and stuff. Microsoft, for example, has, I think, about a dozen different bundles with different games and accessories.
Thanks, Dan. Dan Ackerman at CNET.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. What about the neighbors? What would they say? Little Stevie Ray Vaughan on this Tuesday, December 8th. Thanks for being with us. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Kashenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump proposes shutting the door to Muslims. The FBI says the San Bernardino terrorists practiced at a shooting range. A severed pig head found at a mosque in Philly. Convicted of murder, Olympian Oscar Pistorius is free on $692 bail. No delivery room video for Kim and Kanye. First time Kim has ever said no to a camera while in a compromising position. Nike inks a lifetime deal with LeBron, and guess who won $500,000 in the Colorado lottery? That story in about 20 minutes. There's been a spike in the share of students defaulting on their college loans, and that's got some people thinking that maybe we should be more careful with taxpayer dollars by restricting who can borrow for higher education. Just about any American can borrow as much as $57,000 for college and essentially unlimited amounts for graduate school with little regard for the person's ability to repay. But Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Mitchell says a sharp rise in delinquencies is drawing comparisons to subprime mortgage lending. Josh, set this up.
For a very long time now, if you want to go to college and take out student debt, basically you can borrow from the federal loan program, which has no underwriting standards. It's basically no questions asked. You take out student loans. It doesn't matter what major you're going to study. It doesn't really matter what school you're going to go to, as long as the school has an accreditation, has gone through the accreditation process, you can get student loans. And what we've seen in the past few years, at least, is there's been this surge in the number of people who are defaulting on their student loans. And this has raised this question of is there an argument now to impose some type of underwriting standards to ensure that people who won't be able to repay their debt don't take out debt. In other words, should the government, when someone applies for a student loan, should they take a look at a number of factors to determine whether someone will actually be able to repay the debt that they're going to take out?
All right, so back up just one second then. Why are defaults on the rise so much?
So there's been some new research to come out to shed some light as to who exactly is defaulting on their student loans. More than two-thirds of those who have defaulted on their student loans in recent years, and I'm talking about generally the past 5 years, have been those who have gone to either for-profit schools or two-year schools, as opposed to those who go to four-year schools. And these people who are defaulting, they tend to come from poor households. And there's other research to suggest that a lot of them weren't prepared for college-level work. And so a lot of times, these students will enroll in for-profit schools or two-year colleges, which don't really have high academic standards for getting in. A lot of these schools are basically open enrollment, and a lot of these students can't really even pass the standardized tests, or they don't have the grade point averages to get in college-level work, so they enroll in these colleges, and they're taking high school-level courses, and many of them, if not most, end up dropping out.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Mitchell. His piece is called, Should Anyone Be Eligible for Student Loans? Do you have some students who take out the money for loans, then wind up spending it on something else, like regular old living expenses?
That's a very big issue, and again, it's kind of a controversial issue when someone like me brings that up. A lot of people say, look, that's not a prevalent problem. That's going to just stir a lot of anger toward the students themselves. Don't talk about that. I'm just going to tell you, a lot, among the administrators I talk to, among students I talk to, it's a problem. Now, am I going to say it's the driving factor? No. But anyone who doubts that, I would say go talk to some of these administrators at these high default schools. Talk to the students at the schools. They will tell you there are a significant number of students who do go in there. They take out money for living expenses. Now, some of them may, in fact, have an intention to stay in school, but maybe they find the academic work too hard. Maybe they go into the school and don't find the school, you know, don't find the teaching to be up to par. They get discouraged and they drop out. So I think that that's definitely a problem as well. But I do think there's this issue of these schools are very easy to get into. They're open enrollment. The student loans are an entitlement. So it's very easy to get the student loans. There's no credit check. It's quick cash for some people.
All right. Thanks, Josh. Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Mitchell, who's based in Washington. 21 minutes before the hour on this morning. America's First News. Coming up next, Trump trolls Bush yet again.
Did you know that the average cost for a family of four to attend a professional baseball game is over $200? At the same time, over 40% of all sports, concert, and theater tickets go unsold. So how come we're all paying so much when so many seats go empty? I'm Adam Kanner, founder of ScoreBig.com. We found a way to work directly with teams and venues to get their unsold seats and pass the huge savings on to you. On ScoreBig.com, we guarantee you'll save on great sports, concert, and theater tickets. And we're not talking about last-minute nosebleed seats to events you don't want to see, but millions of great seats for the best events, days, weeks, even months in advance. On ScoreBig.com, when you successfully name a ticket price, on average, you'll save over 33% below box office price each time you buy, with no added fees or shipping charges ever. There are lots of places to buy tickets, but if you really want to save, then check out ScoreBig.com.
And now save even more at ScoreBig.com. Click on the radio mic and enter code 2255, and we'll take an additional $30 off your ticket purchase. That's ScoreBig.com, promo code 2255.
Hey, don't forget, if you miss a day of the program, you can hear a podcast of it on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. We tried to make the website URL longer than that, but It was kind of the best we could come up with.
There is a limit.
This Morning with GordonDeal.com. Also on apps like TuneIn, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and iTunes. You can find us on social media as well. Twitter, I think, is where we exchange the most with listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Me at GordonDeal. You at Radio Gavin 1.
Mm-hmm.
Sarcasm and cynicism, always welcome, always encouraged.
Need to stay awake early in the mornings. We need something to keep us awake.
That's right. Humor is welcome as well. Beyond the headlines now, at Radio Gavin 1 is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it's safe to say that the Jeb Bush presidential campaign hasn't gone as planned, as he's lagged well behind Donald Trump and others throughout the early campaign season. Whether intentionally or not, Trump has managed to one-up Bush again, this time online. Internet users discovered yesterday that the website JebBush.com does not provide you with information on how to donate to the Bush campaign list of his campaign stops, but rather it redirects to Trump's website, DonaldJTrump.com. Nobody knows exactly who's responsible for this now, Gordon.
Right.
Trump's campaign has denied that they are involved at all in this. The Washington Post says that the site appears to be registered through an Australian firm that registers domain names, but information on the individual owner is not available.
That's funny.
Now, if this is not the first time this has happened, we'll stop it actually a bunch of times to Jeb Bush, but then we even did a story about, when Ted Cruz announced, right? When Ted Cruz announced, somebody took, TedCruz.com.
Okay.
And it was an anti-Cruz. It was somebody who hated Ted Cruz, who posted all kinds of bad things about him on there. This seems to happen all the time because it's almost impossible to buy up all of the different permutations of your name.
Right.
So there's a few of those are going to slip through. But JebBush.com, that seems like a pretty obvious one that you would have thought they would have got their hands on.
Come on, people. Come on, people. The other thing I was going to point out, since you mentioned that his website is DonaldJTrump.com, when he made that statement yesterday about banning Muslims, did you notice that when he said, Donald J. Trump proposes or whatever.
Right.
Who, first of all, it's so unusual for somebody to refer to themselves by their full name.
Of course.
Let alone throw their middle initial in there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, politics aside, that just speaks to a big ego.
Yes.
When you throw your middle initial in there, he's playing a different level.
Because we're going to confuse him with with his son or any other Donald Trump that might be out there.
Right.
We're just not sure exactly which Donald Trump you're talking about. And Gordon, a police department in Massachusetts has posted a wanted ad for the Elf on the Shelf that has since gone viral. The Bourne Police Department posted a faux mugshot featuring the Elf on their Facebook page with the caption, "Use caution, wanted in a string of gingerbread house invasions, known to spread Christmas cheer and a specialist in covert surveillance, often seen hiding in high places. Do not approach and especially do not touch, as this is known to cause loss of magical abilities." Since being posted on Sunday, the holiday themed wanted ad has received over 2,500 likes and been shared more than 1,500 times. Now, the Elf on the Shelf is wanted in our house not for these reasons, but because he actually hasn't shown up yet.
What?
The Elf is taking his time. I don't know if he stopped at Shake Shack, on his way down from the North Pole or what, but we haven't seen the Elf as of yet in our house, and the children are getting a little bit concerned.
How are your young boys reacting to this news? The Elf has not shown up in your house yet. I'm sure in their friends' houses he has shown up.
You know what, though? I think they're okay with it, because as you know, that the Elf comes to watch over the kids and make sure that they're being good and reporting back to Santa. As long as he's not there, then all of their transgressions are not reported back to the North Pole. So I think they're a little concerned, but I think they're overall okay with it.
Wow. I'm gonna phrase this very carefully, but there was a time maybe 3 years ago when the Elf in our home was captured on cell phone video flying through the home and landing.
I'm sure that that Santa was not happy about that.
Well, perhaps not. But let me just say that based on sources I spoke to, it took tremendous effort to be able to come up with the final video, if you know what I'm saying.
10-4, good buddy.
13 minutes in front of the hour.
Donald J. Trump.
We'd love to welcome a new sponsor to the show, All and Sundry, a modern men's shoe company with an old world vision. My friend Nick and his team make the finest handcrafted custom shoes, shoes your grandfather would be proud of. All and Sundry creates a unique experience where you select your style of shoe, whether for work or play. Then you choose the material, add custom features like eye stays, then select a color. They source all the materials and build each one by hand. Without a middleman, you get the savings. No more outrageous markups. If you're a shoe guy, All and Sundry is for you. If you're not, you might change your mind after seeing All and Sundry. Right now, get a 10% discount on a gift card for the holidays. Visit allandsundry.com and enter the promo code DEAL at checkout. That's A-W-L and sundry.com. Then enter DEAL at checkout. All and Sundry, stylish and modern shoes with craftsmanship a grandfather would be proud of. Again, allandsundry.com and enter code DEAL. 8 minutes before the hour, Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Florida Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump is facing criticism after calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the U.S. Trump's proposed ban would apply to immigrants and visitors alike. Nihad Awad is executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relations.
This is outrageous, coming from someone who wants to assume the highest office in the land. It is reckless and simply un-American.
GOP candidate Lindsey Graham said on Twitter that Trump has gone from making absurd comments and being downright dangerous with his bombastic rhetoric, and Jeb Bush called him unhinged. But Trump drew cheers from a large crowd in South Carolina last night when he made the remarks. San Bernardino County employees had undergone training on what to do if a gunman invades the workplace, and that training occurred in the same conference room where another county employee and his wife opened fire last Wednesday, killing 14 people. It's not clear if gunman Syed Farouk attended that training in late 2014. Authorities say he and his wife had been radicalized for quite some time before they attacked the holiday luncheon. The Supreme Court has let stand an ordinance banning semi-automatic weapons and high-capacity magazines, allowing a Chicago area suburb to restrict access to weapons similar to those used in last week's California attack. The court, as is customary, gave no reason for its decision. Comedian Jon Stewart returned to The Daily Show last night, where he made a push to renew a law that provides health benefits for first responders who became ill after the September 11th terror attacks. Stewart called on Congress to make the act permanent. And you would expect the action figures and apparel tied to Star Wars The Force Awakens, but what about coffee creamers, mascara, and shoes? Those are just a few of the new items that make up an entire galaxy of new merchandise tied to the movie. There's even light-up lightsaber chopsticks and a $4,000 Millennium Falcon bed.
All right, you know I like my Chinese food. I would sign up, I think, for those lightsaber chopsticks.
You want those?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to look for them for the Christmas is coming.
Especially for my chicken may fun. 6 minutes now in front of the hour.
Did you know that more and more businesses are switching to Vonage? Seems like they know something you don't know, like how they can unify all their offices nationwide on their own private connection to the cloud. Or maybe they're saving tons of headaches by eliminating unwieldy PBX phone systems. Make the switch to better. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or visit Vonage.com and find out why so many businesses are switching. That's 1-800-5-VONAGE or Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
While most video surveillance solutions capture and store hours of nothing, CUDA Eye by Barracuda Networks only captures video when something happens. Once captured on camera, the video evidence is immediately encrypted and sent to the cloud for safe storage and easy retrieval from any web browser or mobile device. With CUDA Eye, there's no network configuration or software to install. Just plug one or more cameras into your network to better protect your business. Don't get caught with nothing. Do something about it. Check out CUDAEye.com. That's CUDAEye.com.
Thanks for being with us. Something tells me that this is the way lotteries are supposed to go down. A homeless man in Aspen, Colorado, has won $500,000 on a scratch-off. Michael Engfors, who's 61, has reportedly been homeless for about 6 years after he lost his business and went through a divorce. He purchased a $10 ticket on Friday afternoon at a gas station in Aspen. In doing so, he beat odds of 840,000 to 1 in the Eternal Splendor game. Mr. Engfors, according to NBC, spent one last weekend sleeping on the floor of St. Mary Catholic Church before the shelter's director drove him 2 hours to the lottery office in Grand Junction yesterday. TV station nearby says he wants to get some skis and reconnect with his daughter, who he's been out of touch with for about 20 years. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.